guys, this is Sam Herring on the Home Mat Advantage Wrestling Podcast. We're here for our first episode. On this one, we'll try to cover a few things. We'll mainly be trying to address our thoughts from the NCAA tournament that happened this last week. And we'll go on from there. How are you doing today, Jude?
I'm doing fantastic. But I would like to remind our listeners, please send us questions to our email. You can DM us on Twitter. Our email is hmatadvantage@gmail.com. And our Twitter handle is @HMA_pod. We got to change a little bit just to make it a little easier to remember. But Sam, the NCAAs happened. They were fantastic. It's one of the greatest wrestling tournaments quite possibly in the world. I loved it. I had a blast.
Me too.
What are some overall thoughts you had?
Well, I have a few individual thoughts for each weight class that we'll get into a little bit later, but just some overall thoughts and some classifications for the tournament. I thought that the team race was decided pretty much before the tournament had started. We all had expected Penn State to run away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And another one is there were some official problems, and I think we have some rules in our rule book that really need some changing to make it more clear and easier on the refs to call. I know we had a lot of those problems this weekend.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed with the refereeing. It was not it wasn't consistent. The refereeing wasn't consistent. And but you know, that's just the way refs are. You got to wrestle to beat the ref, you know?
Exactly.
Cuz guys going into the national tournament or the state tournament, whatever it may be, there's two types of guys. There's guys who are going to win and they're going to dominate. And there's guys who are just looking for an excuse to lose. And that's in every tournament. That's where you're going to see it. So
yeah.
Don't let the refs be your excuse. Don't let them to be your excuse to lose. Let's start at 125. Spencer Lee.
He's back.
He's bad. He kind of dominated basically everybody. He didn't have a single close match. Even his finals was 5-0. What do you think about that?
You know, I was kind of on the opposite side of everybody else. I decided after last year, kind of what everybody's deciding this year is I'm never going to pick against Spencer because I did that last year. And I was really sad because he destroyed everybody. And
I mean, it's what happened with Chenzo, you know?
Exactly.
Everyone's like, not picking against Chenzo again. But then Makai Lewis really really showed us up.
Yes,
but continue. Continue.
So I'd made that decision that I wasn't going to pick against him. And this year I knew that he'd probably be back. And I was really hoping. I'm a big Spencer Lee fan, and I was really wanting him to show up and dominate or give his full potential at the tournament. And I'm glad he did because he is so fun to watch when he's at 100%.
Oh, yeah. At one point, did you think he was going to win the entire thing?
Well, again, I had picked him to win, but when I was convinced that I really felt like he was looking great this weekend was his quarterfinal matchup against Sean Russell.
Yeah, and me too.
This is a guy that he's wrestled some close matches when he wrestled him at the NCAAs in 2017 when we knew he was full peaked, or 2018, I guess it was. But he pinned him or teched him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back in the duel this year, their first matchup, and did a 4-0. And I was like, oh, boy. And then at Big Tens, he majored him, but without any turns. And
yeah.
I still feel like when he showed up and pinned Sean Russell, I was just like, Spencer's back.
Yeah. Well, I was still kind of nervous in the semis with when Mueller just dismantled Rivera. It was a decision, but it was a nasty decision. So I was – obviously, Rivera's given Lee two losses this season. And when Mueller just took it to him, I was like, oh, boy. But, you know, Lee delivered. He got it done. He's the Pokemon King.
He is.
133. Dayton Fix in the finals. He wrestled very different. Different than almost any other Dayton Fix we've seen. I think that whenever he wrestles – Nick Soriano, they're exciting matches, but not in a way that most matches are exciting. They're exciting in like little tiny moments. Where like where you watch Jason Nolf wrestle and he'll dismantle people and every second of it, it's just intriguing and it pulls you in. But when Dayton and Nick wrestle, it's kind of boring a lot of the time. But he did not look himself in the finals, especially with Suriano like not letting him come back and bounce. Suriano just controlled the entire and controlled the mat, and he controlled the match. Absolutely. What do you think?
I was surprised when he did not get called for stalling in that first period. I felt like another ref would have called that stalling for sure. And it was just Suriano wrestling a super smart match. That lead leg, shuffle step back in, and he was just pushing Fix around with that. And Fix, he wasn't able to push back in good position. And I feel like he wrestled a really smart match. And Suriano did. But one thing that made me a little bit angry was how much time Nick Suriano spent when he was on top on the leg. I feel like he rode for about a minute, and I'd say 50, 55 of those seconds were on Dayton Fix's leg.
Right. What do you think about in when they went into the ride out, when they stopped it and they restarted it when Fix was on top? You know, there was only like 10 seconds left, and they stopped it and restarted it. Why? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's something I was confused about too. I didn't really understand. Something I'd like to ask you is, what do you believe the reason for a stalemate is?
I think they might say it is. Oh, there's no action. Nothing's happening. He has boots in. He's just riding him. Nothing's happening. But it may be in the back of the ref's minds, it may be this is the national finals. This really, really matters. I'm going to give this kid one last chance. You know, maybe he'll get ridden out, but I'm going to give him one last chance to escape. And so they'll stop it and restart it. I can't say that that's it for sure, but it's a possibility.
Yeah, so I feel like my guess is that that ref coming into those finals was told that he was to keep matches interesting and to keep matches full of action the best he could, so that the people that aren't familiar with wrestling flip to ESPN and, oh, look, this sport's on. And they don't want to be bored to death. And I feel like that's something he was told going into the match. But I feel like 9 seconds left on the clock. Why call stalemate? Call stalemate?
Especially,
it just didn't make sense.
Especially,
to me.
Especially when a national championship's on the line. Well,
exactly.
141, Yanni Diakamahalis, he did it again. He really he looked fantastic, and he just can't lose at this tournament. I loved his finals match with McKenna. I thought it was super exciting. Especially like McKenna got that first takedown and I was like, oh no. But Yanni gave up the first takedown every match last year in the national tournament, I'm pretty sure.
From the quarters up.
Yeah, basically. So obviously he wasn't worried. He was very confident going into overtime that he was going to get the takedown, and he delivered. And that's why he's number one.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Yeah, two guys that I feel like are some of the most mentally tough and calm guys that I know are Kyle Snyder and Yanni Diakamahalis. And being such a young guy is so impressive for him. I believe that he's going to be a four-time national champ, and there are guys to push him, but he's going to get it done when it needs to be done, and that's who Yanni is, and that's who Yanni's going to be.
Right. He knows the importance of the national finals. At 149, Anthony Ashnault, quite untested throughout the bracket, except for, you know, his semis with Kolodzic. But yeah. I think he looked on fire. Rutgers really, they really brought it, you know. They had two champs. I think those were their only AAs, but they looked very good. Both Ashnault and Suriano.
They broke like four records. First time with a national champ. First time with two national champs. First time with two All-Americans and a first time with a four-time All-American.
That's crazy.
2019 was a great year for Rutgers.
And, definitely.
I believe that that's going to improve their recruiting angle. Is mm-hmm. guys like JoJo Aragonés, now he lives in the state of New Jersey, which is a real powerhouse. And now guys are like, hey, I can go to a college in my state and succeed at the highest level.
Right. This I think this really proved to a ton of guys that Rutgers is definitely in it, especially in the Big Ten, which is so tough. You know, they're no longer, you know, the underdogs of the Big Ten. They really have showed up.
Yes, they have.
At 157, a man, a myth, a legend, Jason Nolf. He looked very, very, very good. Except for the final semifinals match, which I don't want to say I don't think he looked bad. Because Hayden Heidley is a super defensive wrestler. He always stays in really good position. Where Nolf capitalizes is off of people when they get out of position. So people say that Nolf didn't look very good, Hayden looked great, you know, and a 3-2 match with Jason Nolf is fantastic. I read somewhere that Jason has not had a 1-point victory since he was in high school. And I think that's crazy. That is insane. Sam, what do you think about that matchup?
Yeah, I've never heard that that Nolf hadn't had a 1-point victory since high school. That's absolutely insane. I would like to know the last person to ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
Kale Sanderson had a 1-point match, I believe, with Daniel Cormier his senior year.
In the finals, probably.
Yeah. But, so who do you think has given Nolf the toughest match this year outside of Hayden Heidley, like the closest match?
Well, I don't know. He majored Pantaleo in the duel. It would have to be Berger, right? He majored him in the duel as well, right?
I believe so. I was going to say it's Pantaleo. I think that body type and that style of wrestling where it's just it's great body position and he kind of blocks him off. It's tough to get in on his legs, powerful hips. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of matchup that does not favor Nolf's style.
Mm-hmm.
While Nolf will still dominate and while Nolf will normally still pull out the win, that's the style that will give him the most trouble, I believe.
Right, continue.
So when I see a guy that like that, that Nolf goes up and wrestles, and Nolf, I'm sure, knows that he has to find ways, and I know he's got to be playing around in the room with guys like that to be able to work on how to break that body position and how to get in on those legs.
And I think another thing is that in the event that Hayden gets the takedown in the first period, I think Jason's strategy would have changed, because a lot of people are like, oh, Hayden got robbed. Well, he might have gotten robbed in the first period. That may have been too. But
absolutely,
what's for sure is that Jason's strategy would have changed, because he's given up the first takedown plenty of times and come back and get the win. So I don't think that giving up the first takedown is a foregone conclusion against Jason Nolf. So
absolutely.
Let's take a look at 165. Makai Lewis is, in the words of the Wrestling Nomad, apparently if you're a world champion, you're pretty good. And Makai Lewis is definitely pretty good, some would say. What was going through your mind when you locked up the cradle on Joseph?
Going through my mind?
Mm-hmm.
I had actually noticed that in Vincenzo's semifinals against Shields, that his stand-up was definitely a little bit sloppy with his head too close to his knee. And while I wasn't thinking, oh, that might be a danger to him in the finals to get put on his back against Makai Lewis. I did notice it. And I'm not surprised that Makai Lewis was able to capitalize on it. And going through my mind right then was probably, Makai Lewis is here. He's arrived.
Yeah. Well, my question is, why can't Makai Lewis be taken down? Why is he so hard to be taken down?
Again, his body position, but it's not the same kind of style as a guy like Hayden Hidley or Alec Pantaleo. Mm-hmm. I think it's more like his Jordan Burroughs-esque athleticism or Jaden Cox. Jaden Cox is a great example where David Taylor gets in on a single leg and he can do all this single leg finishing, and Jaden Cox is so athletic, he's not going to be taken down.
Right.
I feel like it's kind of that similar athleticism that helps Mekhi Lewis.
Mm. Well, at 174, Zahid Valencia did it again. He beat Mark Hall. But why is he so inconsistent? He took losses to Hall, took losses to Lewis. But, you know, here he is avenging both of those on the where it really matters. Well, why do you think that is?
Yeah, I don't know if you listened to Zeke Jones's interview about that after the match or not, but this is one interview that I really would recommend listening to. It was a really, really awesome interview. Mm-hmm. But he said that after the NCAA Finals last year with Mark Hall, and then he felt like Mark Hall was – he had surpassed him, and that he had gone on to another level, and he'd left Mark Hall behind. And so going into that duel at Rec Hall, he was overly confident, and he felt like it would be a much, much easier match.
Right.
With bad preparation, bad training, and that's not where he should have been. Zeke Jones said that was the best thing that could have happened to him.
Yeah.
And then when he took that loss to Daniel Lewis, he was fired up. I think that's what it takes for Zeke Valencia to be at his peak, is for him to be fired up, and when he's training right, he's going to be in shape to be able to take 14,000 shots a match, and that's how he's going to win.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be surprised if next year he starts taking losses again. I won't be surprised, but, you know, he gets it
done. I want to ask you, to whom would you expect? This year is Lewis and Hall. Would it be Hall again? Will they wrestle next year? And who would be somebody that wouldn't surprise you to beat him?
To beat Zahid?
Lewis is gone now. Yes.
Oh, Amin is so underrated. He is a very, 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 very tough wrestler. Oh, wait, is Amin a senior or is he a junior?
I believe he is a senior.
That
I will double check, though.
If not, then I think Labriola is also underrated. Obviously, he does take losses, but he wrestles very, very tough.
Yes, he does.
And I wouldn't be, I'd be, you know, shocked if he beats Zahid, but I wouldn't be like, it's definitely a possibility. So, at 97, do you think
Bonacom? Yeah, hold on 1 second.
Oh, sorry.
I do think Miles Amin was a junior last year, and I think he's a senior.
Okay, well, then my answer is Mikey Labriola. Okay. Will Bo Nickel get the Hodge? So just right now, there's four guys in the race for the Hodge, and I think the fan vote right now is Bo. But it's Yanni, Ashnoltz, Jason, and Bo.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, my vote is Bo. And I always thought it was going to be Bo. Maybe not at the beginning of the season, going into the national tournament, I felt it was going to be Bo because Jason was not going to get major. He was not going to get bonus points all the way through the tournament. It was just going to be very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I believe my vote was Bo, and I feel like that is unquestionable for somebody like us. I feel like the fan vote is like it sounds. If you're from New Jersey, you're going to vote Anthony Ashnault. Mm-hmm. And if you're from New York, you're going to vote Yanni Diakomihalis. And if you're from Pennsylvania, you'll be voting Bo Nickel. Or just for that matter. But I do feel like Bo Nickel should get most of those votes. But people like me, who has to think about it, and I like all four of those guys. And I think those are awesome wrestlers. But according to the Hodge criteria, Bo gets it, and it's unquestionable to me.
I think so too. Can I say something real quick about his finals match with Colin?
Yes, you may.
I know I'm not out there on the mat wrestling Colin Moore, who is extremely, extremely good. But I don't think Bo looked great. He definitely didn't look how he looked like when you wrestled him at Big Tens or even in the duel. I don't think he looked tentative, but I think he looked conservative. And especially, and this kind of irked me, was there's like 20 or 15 seconds left. He has a cradle locked. He already has the two. For a guy whose entire career was explosive and exciting and he scores points all the time, do you want to be known as the national champion who ended it with, who ended his career with just a locked cradle? Just yeah. watching the seconds tick down. So that kind of, that made me sad. But yeah. Other than that, I love Bo Nickel. He's come and coached at M2 several times, and he's a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a few thoughts on that Bo Nickel, his cradle and his tentativeness in that finals match. Mm-hmm. There had to be a lot of emotion going into that final match. And a lot of times with that kind of emotion comes less hype, like Bo strives on, and less just fired upness, I guess. And I think he was a little bit more like, I want to enjoy this.
I agree.
And I think when he went out on the mat, the team title was locked up. He was calm and relaxed. And I think when he locked up that cradle, first of all, he didn't want to risk anything that could possibly happen. I think that he was watching those seconds tick down for his college career. And I think I don't know this for sure, but maybe if it were me, I would start really enjoying it right there and just being like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Rather
no,
than
you're right.
Rolling over. Yeah, I don't know.
You are right. So the final thing I want to talk about is Gable Stevenson. In the very first period of his match with Anthony Kassar, he pushed Kassar around like a baby in a stroller. He was pushing him all over the mat, and Anthony did not have an answer for it. What do you think about that? Why was Gable able to do that? And he didn't do it in the Big Tens, but he definitely did it. Definitely did it here.
There was something in there in Gable, and even in his interview after, he said, "I wrestled with my heart there, and I was fired up." And so when he was out there, he was conditioned. He was ready to go, and he wanted to give it all he had, because, you know, we all know that Anthony Kassar was going to be his toughest opponent, and he was going out there to prove what he had, and the savviness of Kassar was enough to top it. And I do want to get to that last bit of riding time and everything when you're ready to move on.
Well, actually, Sam, I think we have to end the episode here.
Yeah.
We've gone way over. But I would like to remind our listeners, please send us questions at hmanadvantage@gmail.com and at HMAPod. Sam, it was a blast. I really enjoyed doing this with you. And I can't wait to see you again next time.
Yeah, all righty.